May help me at our should attention to the Gospel as recorded by John chapter 4 and verse 10. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. How much there is of gracious instruction and encouragement even for sinners in this which I've read to you this evening, in this obviously well-known account that's given us here of this woman of Samaria and of the Lord's meeting with her at that well outside the city of Sychar. One thing is very evident here. It is not a sinner seeking unto the Saviour, but it is the Saviour seeking that which was lost. And is not this always that wherein the Lord does make known the wonders of his love and mercy, even unto sinful men and women? I'm sure it is borne out in the case of each, a soul that is brought to know the wonders of the pardoning love and mercy of the Lord. And that is not that we first sought him, but that he sought us. He himself declares, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, in the case of this Samaritan woman, is not this what is sadly, solemnly evidenced in all by nature? Even as she came to that well to draw water, no thoughts whatsoever in her mind with regard either with respect to herself as a sinner, and certainly not with regard to any need of a saviour. No, she comes there careless, indifferent with respect to her true spiritual state and condition before a holy and a heart-searching God, are indifferent regard to the solemn realities not only of time but of eternity as well. And we see here indeed evident with her, though she knew many things, yet we see how ignorant she was, both with respect to herself as a sinner, and that wherein only there is hope, even for sinful men and women. And is not this the case of all by nature? And must indeed remain so, apart from sovereign, saving grace? And oh, do not we see the display of the wondrous reality of it, the Lord's dealings here with this woman? One thing I particularly just want to notice is this. We see here the Lord's dealings with a sinner individually and very personally. And is not that the case in all that the Lord, for that gracious, wondrous ministry of the Holy Spirit, calls by his grace? Yeah. And here we see the wonder, not only of the love, but the condescension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was said of him, as I mentioned in prayer, it was said of him that very derogatorily, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. How many of the religious world of that day were offended at such actions of the Lord Jesus Christ? But oh, that which they were offended at, we find is that which is ever the cause of those that the Lord seeks and brings unto himself to bless and praise his name for. For where should we be And we not cause surely, but to give thanks unto his name, that he does receive sinners and eats with them. He does not despise. Indeed, even as it was here, to associate himself with such a sinful woman as this Samaritan was. Oh, do not overlook the very reality of this. Here we see that the Lord Jesus himself, the Holy One of God, in him who was with him, where it was no sin, and yet he does not, friends, even here condescends, indeed, not only to make himself known, but to associate even with such a sinful woman as this was. To what end and purpose? Not to encourage her in her sin, no, but to manifest the wonder of his sovereign saving grace in that quickening of her soul from that death in trespasses and sins, and bringing her into the light, life and liberty of the gospel, not only to know of a Messiah that was to come, as even she indicates later in this chapter, but oh, to make himself known unto her as that, not only of that Messiah that was to come, but that in him was the Christ of God, in all the wonder and blessed reality of the same. What a statement is that which the Lord makes to this woman when he says to her, I that speak unto thee am he. Notice that word he is in the italics, but the essential truth that is brought before us here is this: I that speak unto thee, I am, that is, I am, expressive, as that is of the eternal power and Godhead of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he indeed, even though there, as he appeared to that woman at that well, yes, as a real man, and undoubtedly, our Lord Jesus was and is a real man, and he fully partook of our whole human condition, sin excepted, but he indeed is God manifest in the flesh. Let us then notice as held one or two things particularly from the immediate context of this verse that I've read by way of a text. And what I would here just bring before you is this. Let us not lightly pass over it. It is said he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now, how much is there contained in that statement? He must needs go through Samaria. Some might say, well, was not this the usual way from Judea into Galilee? It was a way indeed that was taken, but it was not necessarily the only way. But leave that aside. There is much more, friend, contained in this statement than his journeying from Judea to Galilee was to, that was that. To be that was through passing through Samaria. No, he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Here was the outworking of the eternal purposes of God with regard to the Lord's meeting with this sinful woman. Here was no coincidence. Was not matter a supposedly chance that the Lord happened to be sitting upon that well outside the city of Sychar at the precise time when this woman comes to draw water? No, this is no coincidence. This is the outworking of the eternal purposes of God regard to the Lord's manifesting his saving grace and mercy unto this sinner. And is it not the case? The Lord's dealing with each and every one because by his grace. One well puts it in the verse of that hymn. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. This woman, as I said a few moments ago, came there wholly unthinking and unconcerned, little realizing what transactions were to take place there in the meeting of this stranger. But friend, the Lord knew. I see the outworking divine purposes respecting the ingathering yet another that his father had given unto him as one of his elect. What a mercy the Lord works are known unto the Lord, even from the beginning unto the end. Said in another place, he knew what he would do. And see, friends, how all that pertains to the blessings of salvation for sinful men and women, as it was with this woman here, is of God. And that in every aspect of it, in all that is seen here, it is that which, with regard to the Lord's revealing of himself to this woman, yes, make it known to her the solemn fact and reality of her sin, of her lost and ruined condition. But oh, the revealing of himself as her saviour and her all. This was a work of God from beginning to end. And so it is the case of every sinner whom the Lord calls by his grace. Nothing can be attributed unto the sinner. All redounds to the praise of the glory of his grace. That which is revealed to us in the gospel, made known on the blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit, the very soul of a sinner, is that which always lays the sinner low, but exalts and honours the Lord and Saviour of Jesus Christ. We see here with this woman, was no contribution that she makes. The whole initiative, the whole issue, is of and from the Lord himself, and that to the praise of the glory of his great and holy name. He must needs go through Samaria. We see here in this case as well that display of divine power, of divine wisdom, and all the outworking of the wonder of his love and of his mercy towards this sinful woman. But let's just pause a moment here and take a view of what again is brought before us. It is said, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. His disciples at this time had gone into the city of Sychar to buy provisions. Jesus is left there alone. And yet, notice what is said. Weary with his journey. Not something here, friends, remarkable indeed. I mentioned a few moments ago, our Lord Jesus Christ truly partook our whole human condition. He was a real man, yes, though God manifest in the flesh. We see him here, is it not to partake of our whole human condition? sin accepted, here weary with his journey, the Lord of life and glory, he that created all things and upholds all things by the word of his power. Oh, friends, how great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, as the word tells us, and to what end and purpose? To save his people from their sins. See, he comes, and he came just where they are, entered into their whole situation, both in taking upon him, to union with his divine nature, human nature, as I said, sin accepted, but also in all that is experienced, even by his people. Yes, we see him here weary, we know it, we read of him being hungry, thirsty. He knew what it was to suffer and to die. We're told as our great high priest was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, is able to succour them that are tempted. For he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, friends, what wondrous grace. Here we see our blessed Lord, not a God that is afar off from us, but one that is not only near at hand, but indeed intimately involved in all that concerns his people. Why? For they and he are one, the word declares. Here again is a wondrous mystery. Christ and his people one. He truly not only partook of our whole human condition, but he himself has put away our sins for the sacrifice of himself. He has brought in for us everlasting righteousness. It's upon the glorious reality of this, that God justifies the ungodly to the praise of the glory of his name. But though weary with his journey, he was not weary of the work his Father gave him to do. Did not the Lord Jesus ever always declared of him that he delighted to do the will of his heavenly Father? Though, as I say here, weary with his journey, not weary of that work which his Father gave him to do. And though weary with his journey and thirsty as well, oh, he says to his disciples subsequently, when they return and find him speaking to this woman, you know, they, in a sense, they ignored her. They didn't even ask him why he spoke to her. They said, Master, eat, are wholly concerned with what they've gone into the city of Sychar to obtain. I have meat to eat, which ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work, and see what was here. We might put it this way. The primary matter concern in our Lord's, of our Lord here, it was the dealing with this sinful woman. Yes, to reveal of himself unto her. Indeed, as he is the Christ of God, but oh, surely, as our Lord, a Saviour, and her all. But he said, And as he sat there on the well, this woman comes, as I said, unthinkingly, unheedingly, whatsoever, and is surprised that he requests of her a drink of water. Give me to drink. Look again, consider again, friends, what is here before us. As I said, here is the Lord of life and glory, the creator of all things, upholds all things by the word of his power. And yet he requests of this sinful woman, give me to drink. I say, Oh, what depths here, of what wonders, friends, are brought before us with regard to the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ and the outworking of his own sovereign purposes of love and mercy. They say she is surprised. How is it that thou, she says, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Yes, there was real enmity between Jew and Samaritan. They had as little dealings one with another as possible. For remember, the Samaritans, though they claimed to worship the same God as did the Jews, this woman says, you say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. We say here on Mount Gerizim, and even they could claim Jacob as their father. She said, our father Jacob gave us a well, drank thereof, himself and his cattle. But the Samaritans were not real Jews. Remember, the 12 tribes had been taken away in the reign of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, and into their place. Others had been brought, though because of the situation that arose, some Levites were brought into teach them regard to the manners. It is described as a god of the land, and yet with a very mongrel worship, to say the least, of the Samaritans. Yet they were proud of it. Indeed, we see that it was not only true of Jew and Samaritan. Oh, how bigoted they were as well, and prejudiced respect to their religious observances. Is it any different, friends, the day and generation in which we live? Is there not in the religion that so ever manifests both the bigotry and such like things, and that always will be, where Jesus Christ is not known and received, and the blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit in the true exercise of faith and love, men and women will and do, as it was with this Samaritan woman, and what she, in a sense, indicates, ever ready to look to and to rest in human observances, even with respect to the worship of God. But do not forget that the religion of the natural man, whatever form it may take, is always a religion of works. And as a religion of works, it is under the curse, and all that live and die, and that most surely, friends, go to hell, no question about it. But was not a religion of works wherein this woman was brought to know the wonders of pardoning love and redeeming mercy. No, it was that which was all of grace from beginning to end. And we come then to this verse that I've read by way of a text. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Oh, do we know the gift of God? What a question is this that is proposed here by our blessed Lord. Does it speak to your heart and mine this evening? If thou knewest the gift of God, I say again, do we know the gift of God? Oh, friends, what heights and depths, what lengths and breadths of the love of God are set before us in the very implication in these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of God. And you know, the apostle writing his epistle to the Corinthians, I know it is with regard to the instruction and the exhortation the apostle imparts unto them with regard to the collections for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he closes his exhortations with this: thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Yes, this gift of God is beyond all what words can ever express, the gift of God. And this this gift of God is surely the very gift of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Indeed, as our Lord said to that Jewish rabbi Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know those words are sadly often misapplied, but oh, what glorious truth there. The gift of God, the giving of his only begotten and dearly beloved Son. And what for? The very redemption and salvation of sinful, ruined, rebel men and women, even as many as our God will and does call. As I say, can words ever, friends, fully express the height and depth, the length and breadth of this wondrous gift of God? Ah, it is that which is the outworking, what are the deservings of sinful men and women? No, but the outworking of the sovereign love and good pleasure of our God. If thou knewest the gift of God, again let us not overlook this, if thou knewest the gift of God, the implication, friends, is this, and is most solemnly true, as it concerns each and every one of us, how utterly ignorant we are of this gift of God, and ever should and will remain ignorant of it. Only as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, in his sovereign mercy, enlightens our understanding. Indeed, he opens up to us the sovereign, saving knowledge of the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of our blessed Lord in that 17th of John. He says, "This is life eternal, that ye might No, the one and only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." Oh, friends, the vital importance of this, of that knowledge, that true sense, that knowing, not only knowing of, but knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the gracious teaching of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Our true faith is always by knowledge fed. Real religion, yes, I know, we say real religion is more than notion, but something must be known as well as felt. It's not merely a religion of feelings, though we want a feeling with religion, but it is a religion, or that which is about working of the grace of God, both in the knowledge of and in the blessed realization, that gracious ministry of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, of all that Jesus is and all that he hath done, that witness of the Spirit with our spirit, our soul's personal interest in the same. And is that not what a child of God will seek and does seek again and again? Oh, how we ever seek that gracious refreshing from his presence. Oh, that the Lord will so speak, even the psalmist expressed it, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink." As I mentioned a little earlier, Oh, remarkable thing is here. Here our Lord Jesus Christ requesting drink of this sinful woman. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Whence then hast thou that this living water? her whole attention was with respect to the water in that well. Yes, that it was deep. But oh, friends, the depth of her need as a sinner was greater than a witch. At this juncture, she had little realization of. But though deep was her need as a sinner, and here we see, even as the Lord exposes it and brings it to light, she is brought to see light in God's light. And that realization that this one here that speaks to her knows all about her, not only her outward circumstances, but all her life up to that present moment, and indeed all that was in her heart. Is that not a solemn reality? Is there anything, friends, we can hide or cover from the eyes of him whose eyes are as a flame of fire? We can hide many things from our fellow creatures. We can hide many things indeed, in a sense, from ourselves. Our reluctance either to face up to them, let alone to acknowledge them. But oh, we cannot hide anything from the eyes of him whose eyes are as a flame of fire. And when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, thus works sovereignly, graciously in a sinner's heart and life, does it not expose, does it not bring us to be brought face to face with what we are and where we are, and the awful and solemn reality, not only that we are sinners, but that we have sinned against the Lord? Oh, the death of the sin of this woman. But friends, do not just look at her. Oh, for grace to be brought to realize the same for ourselves, the depth in that sense of our sin. Oh, it is surely that situation in which, as this woman was, as we are, utterly lost and ruined through our sin. But though deep were the deep was our sins, deeper still is that salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. For as one has well expressed it, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Yes, if a deep dye stain the sin, not beyond, friends, the ability and the willingness and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that which he hath wrought out for his people, in his one atoning sacrifice, to cleanse them from all sin. As John reminds us, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thou wouldest have asked of him, would have given thee living water. Now here, briefly, three things. Thou wouldest ask of him. I said, we see here in the case of this woman, the Lord's seeking her. It was the Lord that takes the initiative. Always so. The Lord's dealing with every sinner he calls by his grace. But one blessed effect of that is that they're brought to call upon him. Indeed, to cry unto him. Is not the very language and the attitude of the soul quickened and awakened by the blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit to realize the depths of sin with respect to themselves? Oh, are they not brought to call upon his name, to ask of him what? Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me. heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Ah, we have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh, just consider the precious truth here. He would have given thee. And oh, blessed be his great and holy name. It is that which is still imparts in its fullness and freeness to needy, guilty sinners still, that through his grace are brought to call upon his great and holy name. Did not the prophet of old declare, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Oh, the Lord does not have something to sell. No, the blessings of his pardoning love and grace is that which is given in all its fullness and all its freeness. And ah, if ever, friends, we receive it. And oh, what a mercy it is, that grace that brings us to be willing to be saved by grace. It is that which we receive, not as something we've earned or deserved, far from it, but that which is freely given. And oh, the wonder and blessedness of the same, described here as living water. Ah, what do we have to understand by this living water? Why is it not, friends, the wondrous reality of the sovereign grace and mercy of our God? Oh, that living water, that you described in one sense as that river of the water of life. Oh, that flows there even from the very throne of God. The wonders of his unchanging love and mercy, even unto needy and guilty sinners, to the praise of the glory of his name. It is all that Jesus is, and all that he hath done, and all that he imparts, that gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit, who given thee, and blessed be his name, he does give. He gives fully, he gives freely. It's not the language. The glorious truth of the gospel. Let him sit there in the very, as we read in the latter part of the book of the Revelation, let the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, friend. How wondrous is that word there, freely. Oh, may it be truly brought home to your soul and mine, of the fullness and the freeness that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wonders of that grace and mercy that is found and flows through our Lord Jesus Christ, set before us in the glorious truth of the gospel. But I'll leave the remarks there this evening. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.